God. It's that river of God, the anointing of God that we love having in our lives. And we're so glad each of you have joined us today for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Thank you, Brother Ken, who's still hanging around in there in the control room. He always gives us a great introduction. And always, dear friends, tune in earlier and listen to Brother Ken's show. I believe it's 90 minutes. Is that correct, Brother Ken? So must come on at 2:30 on this radio station, Gospel Highlights. We get to hear part of it, and we're so glad. And he's a blessing to all of us. So we're glad that you have joined us today. Our engineer, Brother Bill, was actually singing our theme song at the top of his lungs out in the parking lot.
There's
just now.
A river.
All right, Brother Bill. Okay. I'm glad it's catching on. You know, that's been our theme song for about 3 years now. So, oh, yeah, wait a minute. Boing, boing. Yes. Thank you. All right. Okay. So it's a good day in the house of the Lord here in the studio, because this becomes the house of the Lord.
Amen.
When we are in here just teaching the word, and when Brother Ken is in there playing all his gospel music, it's just a great day on Tan Talk 1340. Those of you that join us in the local area, we want you to be informed that you can go to your internet and exactly. You can have a great reception, www.tantalk1340.com. Push the listen button. And there we are.
There we are.
And we're in video, right, Pastor Jim?
Yes, we are in video.
So we can actually, you can see us.
Stream us live.
Stream us live. We're out of our church clothes and into our fun clothes, right? Pastor Jim Ellsbury joins me this afternoon, one of my associate pastors. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we are so glad that everyone has joined us. And isn't it fun to do the radio show live every Sunday?
I love doing this show.
You do, don't
really,
you?
I really do. I look forward to it.
I love your attitude. You just do. You just enjoy it so much. That's how I feel too. I mean, you know, I sit down, I've got usually about 45 minutes between the time I get home from church and then back on the road to get over here to Clearwater, because I live in Palm Harbor. But you know, and I get a few minutes of football, but I can record, you know, the things that I miss.
Well, that's good.
Yes, like the Bucks, you know, just started, you know, about right now, or getting ready to start in a few minutes, but I'm recording them, so that's all right. We have a great show today, Pastor Jim. I'm looking forward to this show. I always enjoy our discussions, and today at church, we were talking about how the Holy Spirit wants to put convictions of steel within you, right?
Basically, he wants to give us backbone.
Backbone. That's a great way to put it. Why do we need backbone? Can you just explain that to the audience? Maybe they think they have all the backbone they need.
Well, I think, especially in reference to what you were talking about this morning, Pastor, it has to do a lot with standing firm in what you believe.
Amen.
And, you know, just, you know, in our church, we believe in healing. We believe in
yes.
deliverance.
Yes.
Things like that. So, and we believe in salvation. So it's standing firm in those
yes.
things and not being moved by what the devil may throw at you
right.
or what the world throws at you or what other people throw at you. It's just standing firm, having a backbone, being just standing up straight.
Exactly.
What the word says.
And when the devil comes and says, I don't know if there's anything to this God stuff, then we have a firm belief and stand on the word of God, and we combat those lies with the word of God, don't we?
Amen.
And we're going to talk about that today. And we're going to talk about the tricks of the devil, but we're also going to talk about convictions of steel, you know, and what that really means, where that comes from in the scripture, that phrase, convictions of steel, how it translates into our individual lives. It's just, we just came through Thanksgiving weekend. Did you have a nice turkey day?
Yes. Yes, we did. We didn't have to do much. Ray had to go to work at night. So we just,
yeah.
You know, we had our little turkey dinner. He slept to get ready because he
right.
works the night shift. So,
yeah, relaxed.
Relaxed.
I went to a little intimate gathering of my sister's of about, I don't know, 30 people or whatever
that's
it
intimate.
Was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And no, it was fun seeing the kids. My youngest son was home from Jacksonville, Mark.
Oh, great.
So that was great. And then actually, he was home for about 3 days. So we just had some really good times. And
good.
Fun times and playing with our dogs and all that kind of stuff. So it was a great holiday. And for those around that are listening today in the area, hopefully you had a great time. And And it's kind of cool that this radio broadcast now is actually up in the Arkansas-Mississippi area live, too, not right. just right here because of the new stations there. So that's all exciting. So it's a good day. I always look forward to talking about God in this two-hour time frame. Pastor Jim, when we first started our radio broadcast in April of 07, which is 3.5 years ago now, the first few weeks were just was an hour show. And it seems impossible. That long ago is just an hour, but it was. And then after about 5 or 6 weeks, we took on the 90-minute show. And then last year, when was it? Earlier this year,
I guess
we went
to
the 2 hours. So it's a lot of fun. And our engineer, Bill, he enjoys being in there for 2 hours. Don't you, Bill?
So what are we having on this big anniversary show? Not just a ham and cheese sandwich, I hope not.
Well, no, we got to have a party. That's February 6th for our 200th. Show. Can you believe that?
I know.
200. That's
somebody,
a lot.
Somebody
of shows.
Out there needs to tell a secret to the Golden Diamond Source that have something special made for the Living a Good Life.
Oh, that would be good. They're our neighbors next door to our church, you know, right next door on Almerton. We are at 3700 Almerton, and they are next door. That's a good idea. Somebody does need to do that. Ham and cheese sandwiches wouldn't be enough then. You're saying we got to have something better. All right. I know you want to roast a pig, but.
How about there's many restaurants there, too, that could provide
do.
Five
yeah.
guys?
Right. There's a lot right there. Yes, right
wow.
beside us.
Most so excellent.
We'll see what's going to happen. So that's February 6th. Bill just told us all about that, and we're glad he did. And so we welcome you to call a friend, call a relative, tell them to tune in, because it's going to be a good day today. It's going to be a day of building your faith, and it's going to be a day where you put your anchor down. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the anchor and what that means. And some of us that enjoy boating here in beautiful Clearwater understand the value of an anchor. And so we'll talk about that during this show. This first song is by Bob Carlyle. It's one of my favorite songs of his, Living Water. Listen.
As I'm lying here, alone in the dark, I hear your voice gently say, come to me. I long for your love, like the earth longs for the Lord, I've wandered this desert too long. So come, living
Praise God. I love that song about the living water. Isn't it great? Just about God filling us up. And that is our prayer for you today, listening audience, as you join us here on Living the Good Life, that the presence of Almighty God will just fall on you. Amen. And fill you to overflowing. Let's agree in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you in advance about what you're going to do. Amen. In this broadcast today on this radio station. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to share your word. We thank you, Lord, for the listeners that will hear your word, receive it, and change because of God, your precious word, God's word, working in their lives. So, Lord, give us that anointing on all that is said and all that is spoken and discussed. And, Lord, let us draw closer to you during this next few moments. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's turn to the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to start there. And go to some other places, too, all around. 2 Timothy, this is a book that Paul wrote, the Apostle Paul. And we studied the book of Acts a few months ago, so we were very familiar with the ministry of Paul. And Paul went a lot of different places. He was a missionary, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
The apostle. And he started churches. He went to different ministries. He went to different gatherings and organized them. And a lot of them became ministries and churches and so forth. Who was Timothy, Pastor Jim, to Paul as he wrote this letter to Timothy?
Timothy was Paul's spiritual son, as it were. He led Timothy to Christ and actually took Timothy, almost adopted him and took him with him on a lot of his own, at least part of one and another complete journey that he made.
Right.
And Timothy was already half Jewish. His mother was Jewish. Mm-hmm. His father was a Gentile. So, he had kind of a mixed background. But, I believe it's in 2 Timothy. Paul talks about how, his mother and his grandmother nurtured him in the scriptures and kind of got him ready for hearing the word. So when Paul came, Timothy responded to the gospel during Paul's, I believe, second missionary journey.
Okay.
And, Timothy stayed with him. And this letter was written, it's the last letter that Paul wrote, probably written from prison just before Paul was executed by the Romans. And it's just a very personal letter.
It is, isn't it? I like it.
Like a father to a son, kind of. Almost Paul's last will and testament. These are some things you need to know these things. Mm-hmm. And there's a few, things I want you to do.
Right. I like that you just alluded here to his mother and his grandmother. Let's look at that. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in about verse 3. And Paul says to Timothy, "Every time I say your name in prayer," which is practically all the time, I love that, "I thank God for you, the God I worship with my whole life and the tradition of my ancestors." And then he just gets real personal. He goes, "I miss you a lot, especially when I remember that last tearful goodbye. And I look forward to the joy-packed reunion." And he probably never saw Timothy again after this, do you think? Was on earth, did he ever see him again?
No,
probably
not.
So the reunion is in heaven, right?
Right.
Right. And so then he goes on, he goes, "That precious memory triggers another. Your honest faith. And what a rich faith it is." Now, we're talking today on Living the Good Life about convictions of steel. So now he's talking to Timothy and he's building him up in the faith. And he says, "You have a rich faith." And he says, "It was handed down to you from your grandmother." This is what you were just talking about. "Your grandmother Lois, to your mother Eunice, and now to you." Which is really cool because a lot of us have been born into families that did pass down the Christian traditions,
heritage, right.
And some people out there listening are going, "Wow, I didn't have anything like that." But a lot of people have, And the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed, because that is what happens. We can lay hands on people and impart ministry gifts to them, which we do at Beacon of Hope. There are so many times that we pray over people and impart those gifts, keeping that ablaze, because God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but bold and loving and sensible. And the first line of verse 8 says, "So don't be embarrassed to speak up for our master or for me, his prisoner." Now, this is a critical ingredient to having convictions of steel. And that is that you become less and less frightened or bashful or shy to speak up about what you believe in. Don't you think, Pastor Jim, that the more we grow in God and the more we develop those convictions of steel, we don't hesitate if somebody, let's say, is putting down God and right in front of us, we don't hesitate to say, wait a minute, you know, or I don't want to be a part of that or whatever. We have a definite opinion.
Right.
We don't so easily get swayed by the crowd, you know. And this is what Paul was saying to Timothy, don't you think?
Well, yeah, exactly. And Paul says, you know, so don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Okay, first of all, don't be ashamed of the gospel.
Right.
Or ashamed of me, his prisoner. And I think that's important, too, because sometimes, and I have to admit, you know, I remember one time distinctly.
Okay. Pastor Jim gets honest here already. Yeah, well, I'm living the good life today.
I brought a friend home from college.
Okay.
This was just, I'm not even sure if it may have been actually the week before I got saved.
Okay.
But I brought him home from college, and I remember I was going to a Methodist church, and, you know, praise God, at that time we had a born again, a believing minister.
Right.
And I after all these years, and that's been 37 years.
Wow.
I distinctly remember the title of the sermon was Jesus Christ Superstar. Now, remember, this was 1973.
Right, that's when that was popular.
Jesus Christ Superstar / Jesus Christ Super Scar. And, of course, I didn't because I think it was just before I got saved.
Right.
I didn't know what in the world he was talking about. He's talking about the scars on his hands,
yes.
Of course. But I thought, at that point, I was embarrassed for the minister. It's like, oh, good heavens, Keith is never going to want to come home with me again.
Right.
You know, it was just kind of embarrassing because I didn't know then.
Right.
Had it happened probably 2 weeks later, I would have been shouting, you know.
Right.
Because this friend I brought home, he's the one that kept accusing me then of becoming a Jesus freak.
So. Right. Because at that point you weren't that familiar of the significance of those scars that Jesus had in his hands and in his side and in his feet.
I didn't know.
The significance of it.
Yeah. Well, praise God I am now.
Right. Amen. And really what Paul is trying to get across to Timothy is, Timothy, don't be ashamed of who you are. You know,
right.
Don't be ashamed that you are a child of God, that you are an ambassador for God. And that's one thing we want to get across today on the show, that God's got such a plan for your life. That's been our theme since we started this radio program in April of 07. God has a plan for our individual lives, and we should walk through the doors of that plan. We should embrace that plan. We should allow it to become a part of us, and we should not be ashamed of the calling of God on our lives. But it does make us very different, doesn't it, Pastor Jim? I mean, in certain gatherings, let's say family gatherings or office gatherings or something, do you ever feel kind of like you're the odd man out, the weirdo? You know, you're a little different than the average duck that's there at the party, you know?
And I kind of pray that none of my family's listening, although I would love for them to be listening.
Okay.
But usually, like, and not so much now because I'm down here and they're all up in Indiana.
Right.
But we'd get together and everybody knew I was saved. So it was always me who got to give the prayer.
Right. That happens to me too.
But heaven forbid if I should start to really, really pray.
Right.
You know, then it gets a little.
Then it gets a little, yeah.
And I get nudged.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop.
Just say thank you. And.
Well, I think it's interesting that Paul was trying to get across to Timothy, his spiritual son, that there is no room for being ashamed of the gospel. Okay, and let's go down to verse 11. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, just still
go ahead.
In...
go ahead.
Let me see.
9, 10?
Still, I think we're still in verse 8 here.
Yeah.
In this version says, instead, the last half of the verse, instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. So one point to remember, we may be looked at as the odd duck out, or we may even be ostracized.
Right.
been there, done that. For our beliefs, people may look at us kind of cross-eyed, but yeah. we can, it's okay, because the power of God is going to be there with us. I mean,
exactly.
Peter wrote, you know, bless God when you're persecuted.
Exactly.
When people look at you
yes.
cross-eyed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you.
And that's one of the things about this convictions of steel we're talking about today, that it becomes necessary as you mature in God for you to take a stand different times in your life
right.
where you have to say, wait a minute, here's what I believe, here's who I am, you know? And sometimes that's difficult. You know, people want to be liked. You know, they want everybody to just think they're great and all that. And it's not always that way in life.
Let's
you know?
Face it, as Bible-believing Christians, we tend to swim against the stream.
Yes.
You know, the world is all going one direction,
right.
and that's towards hell. And
right.
we're swimming against that. And
right.
You know, by faith, grabbing people along the way and taking
Amen.
Them with us. But it is, I mean, this whole world, since the fall, is headed in one direction, and that's it's kind of cycling down.
Well, exactly.
We're not, because we're reborn, we're regenerated.
Amen. Praise God.
We're moving up.
Yes.
And that does put us at odds.
It does.
With the rest of the world.
And sometimes it means we're on the front lines of a situation, whether it be social, family, you know, a work-related situation,
right.
maybe at home in your marriage or your partnership or whatever the case may be. Sometimes you're kind of standing there out there on the limb of faith by yourself, you know. And today we're talking about developing convictions of steel. So let's go on with verse 11 and verse 12, 13, and 14. We are in 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you just joined us. This is the message. I'm reading it to you, by the way, out of the Message Bible. This is the message I've been set apart. This is Paul talking, to proclaim as preacher, emissary, and teacher. It's also the cause of all this trouble I'm in. But I have no regrets. I'm going to ask you to explain that, Pastor Jim, in just a minute. I couldn't be more sure of my ground. The one I've trusted in can take care of what he's trusted me to do right to the end. Let's explain 11.
I'm about to break out of the
song, yes, know. I know. Read it in your translation, 11 and 12. I love it.
For this gospel, I was appointed a herald, apostle, and teacher. And that is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know the one I believed in.
Amen.
And am persuaded that he is able to guard Ooh. What has been entrusted to me until that day.
That's an old hymn that you and I grew up singing.
Yep.
For I know
yep.
whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Amen.
And Paul was saying this to Timothy. He goes, I'm not ashamed of what I believe. And dear ones, I'm declaring right now on the air, across however many states this goes and across the world globally on the internet, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God for salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We are not ashamed of that. And
right.
we're going to go to that verse in a minute. But I think that Paul is trying to make a point here to his young protege, Timothy, and he's saying, wait a minute, don't back down from what you know to be true.
Paul's saying this, look, this is my calling.
Amen.
You know, I was appointed
yes.
to be an apostle. This
yes.
was my calling, and this was also Timothy's calling.
Right.
You know, he was a pastor of a church.
Right.
He said, you know, but remember, I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed in. I know the one I believe in. And I know that whatever I give to him,
right.
he's going to keep it until the day of his return.
Ooh. In other words, God's going to hang on to you and you to him, and he's going to work out those things.
Mm-hmm.
And your concerns, your problems, your issues that you give to God, he's going to hang on to those
right.
and work things out in your life. He doesn't forget. You know, a lot of times, and you can see because you have our email up right now. By the way, you can email us anytime during the show, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Jim has it up right now. We welcome your comments and your questions. But you can see that I have about 700 or 800 emails right in there, right? Right now?
It scares me.
It scares you, right? And I do clean them out, like, quite regularly. But I get tons through the ministry and through real estate. I really do get a lot. Let's say there's 800 in there right this moment. Well, it's easy for me to forget, you know, emails that came last week that I really need to go back and take a look at and do something with, you know, that's easy to forget. That's in our humanness. But God never forgets that all the things that concern you, he has millions and zillions of emails, quote unquote, not really emails, you know, y'all know that, right? But anyway, he does have all of these requests that come up and he knows. Isn't that so cool?
That is. I mean, what was the scripture we talked about the other night? A Bible study. He will complete what concerns me.
Yes.
He will complete what concerns me.
Yes.
And not just me, but all of us who believe God individually, corporately, he has a plan for all of us. Individually, he has a special calling for each one of us. And, you know, I know in Philippians 1:6, you know, he will continue to work until the day of Messiah, you know, and that's going to keep, you know, he's going to keep working at us to perfect the whole purpose of our lives.
Amen.
Until he comes back.
Absolutely. What you're referring to is Psalm 28, 6 and 7.
Yes.
In your translation, it says it that way. He will perfect that which concerns me. In the Message Bible, Psalm 28, 6 and 7 says, blessed be God. He heard me praying. He proved he's on my side. I've thrown my lot in with him. Now I'm jumping for joy and shouting and singing my thanks to him. Can you read that in your translation? Psalm 28, 6 and 7. Is that right?
Psalm 28, 6 and 7.
Yeah.
May the Lord be praised, for he has heard the sound of my pleading. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart rejoices, and I praise him with my song.
That's not quite it. Okay.
Well, that's all right.
It's fine. But it just, that's what it's talking about, though. Mm-hmm. It's talking about God accomplishing for us what he said he was going to do. And so we go back to this whole thing about Timothy, and Timothy was told, now let's look at verse 13 of 2 Timothy 1, and then we'll find that scripture for y'all later. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Here's what Paul says to Timothy, keep at your work. In other words, don't give up the ship. You know, that's hard sometimes, Pastor Jim. I think we probably have some listeners right now that are saying, you know, it's easier said than done. Maybe they're in a Bible study or maybe they are in some form of ministry. And it's not easy to keep at the work, is it? You know, people fall off the ship pretty easily.
Well, it's...
You know what I'm saying?
It's because, I mean, it's not easy. Like, again, I go back to kind of that swimming upstream it takes.
Right.
That's where a lot of our depending on God has to happen.
And, exactly.
You know, otherwise we're just going to, the current's going to pick us up and carry us along.
It does. And it's just too easy to have happen, isn't it?
Yeah, it's way too easy.
Yeah. So Paul says to Timothy, keep at your work. Let's read what it says in the verse 13 and 14 there in chapter 1. This faith and love rooted in Christ, exactly as I set it out for you. And let's see what it says in 13 and 14 there for you.
Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you've heard from me.
Yes, I love that.
In the faith and in love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who lives in us that good thing entrusted to you.
Wow. In other words, God's got something for you. He's got plans for you. And the theme verses of this show, when we started it 3.5 years ago, was Jeremiah 29:11-14, where God says, for I know the plans I have for you. You know, plans to prosper you and bless you and to bring you into that, you know, that land, that thing, that ministry or that place in God that he has for you. And he says, not plans to destroy you or defeat you or, you know, it's God wants to bless you.
Right. And I think it's important to remember the context of that.
Yes.
Jeremiah was talking to God's people.
Amen.
Who had turned their backs on God, gone into idolatry, and were headed for expulsion from the promised land.
Yes.
They were about to go into exile. And yet, you know, here was Jeremiah writing to the exiles already in Babylon and said, look, don't give up because I have plans for you. I have plans to prosper you.
Wow.
Even in the land of your captivity.
Yes.
He's not going to let us go. And I think that is so important because sometimes we've all felt mm-hmm. this way. We felt in our own land of captivity.
Whatever that may be.
Right. I mean, I'm reminded of Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept. Because there, our captors ask us to sing God's songs. How can we sing the Lord's songs in a foreign land? I mean, mm-hmm. sometimes we've all been there where we've been to the point where we figure, I've gone too far.
Right. God's mad at me.
God's mad at me.
He's
done with me. I mean, I know I had that, and I went through a period like that for a couple of years starting in 1985.
Right.
And
a lot of people do go through that. Yeah.
But I can attest, you know, God still drew me back little by little, little by little. He drew me back, and here I am.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I'm not where I'm going to be.
Right.
You know, God's still working. Praise God. But praise God, I'm not where I was, 25 years ago.
And you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, right? It's the power of God to save you. Let's go there, because that is Romans chapter 1. Go back with us a couple of places, a couple books to the book of Romans chapter 1. And it's one of my favorite verses also. It's 16 and 17, Romans 1, 16 and 17. And in the New American Standard, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." There's a great song about that I forget who sings that, but boy, that's a great one. "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." I love that. It does not say that the gospel is powerful to everyone who is perfect.
Right.
Everyone who has it all together. Everyone who has never sinned. It doesn't say that it's everyone who's a minister of the gospel. It says, Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith." What is Paul talking about in those two verses, Pastor Jim?
Well, first of all, he's reminding the Romans, just like he reminded Timothy, okay, don't be ashamed of the gospel.
Right.
Don't be ashamed of the gospel, because it's not just words.
Right.
Okay?
Power.
First Thessalonians, Paul wrote to the church there, "Look, you heard the gospel, and you took it for what it is, the word of God." And
exactly.
You took it not just as words, but as filled with the Holy Spirit. This thing
Amen.
Is empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So the gospel of God is powerful.
Right.
It is the power of God to salvation. And believe me,
Amen.
There is no greater power than getting saved. There is no greater miracle than salvation, because, you know, healing is physical.
Right.
Even, you know, sometimes emotional healing. That's working in the soul. But here, when you get saved, I mean, you're recreated, as the Amplified
Amen.
Bible says.
Born again.
Born again. You're recreated in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And, you know, you're a new creation.
Yes.
That's total package, body, soul, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a wonderful miracle. And Paul said it is the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone.
Everyone.
Who believes. God doesn't put everyone but X, Y,
right.
or Z.
Right.
God just says, Paul says, it's for
everyone
who believes, to the Jew first.
Right.
Because that's...
Jesus
know,
came
Jesus
to the Jewish,
to the Jewish
yeah, absolutely.
Nation first, then to the Greek, to the rest
Which
of the
everybody
world.
Else. Right. And so when we look at it, it is so powerful to realize that it is simply an act of our acceptance, or us in agreement with the fact that Jesus came to this world to save us from our sin,
Amen.
That it is that powerful decision that we make, and it's not something physically we can see, is it? A lot of times. It translates later on down the road to our faces, our behavior,
right.
our attitudes. But initially, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's an act of faith. It's he who believes to everyone who believes, right?
Right. Yes, I was just remembering.
What are you remembering?
Well, when I got saved.
Yeah, do you want
to
tell about it?
When I got saved for real, okay, I have to explain. As a kid,
right.
I went to church camp every year and
sure.
probably got saved every year.
Right.
you know, as every Thursday night, we'd have a revivalist come in. We'd walk the sawdust trail, shaking your head. Yeah, you know exactly what
I know.
I'm talking about.
I did the same thing.
But then, you know, and I honestly believe, I mean, I did repent of my sins. I mean, of course, they preached kind of a turn or burn kind of sermon. You know, I love it, the roast them, toast them, burn them in hell sermon.
Roast them, toast them, burn them in hell. Sizzle, sizzle. That's not good. But that is the way.
But it got me to the altar.
Okay, that is the way a lot of people, you know.
Right, but and my point being, though, when I got back to the church I was going to, there was no follow-up. So every year is kind of the same thing. Well, I got to college, and can I share my testimony just a little bit?
Please do. You have time. Just don't go past 6 o'clock.
Okay,
we're fine.
No, I promise I won't. This won't take. I poned it down to
All right.
Campus Crusade for Christ taught me how to
do that. That's exactly right.
Yeah, my pastor at the time, the one who happened to be born again, a really good, wonderful man of God, told me I needed to hook up with Campus Crusade for Christ. Well, of course, I was an pre-regenerate person.
Okay.
I had no intention of getting hooked up with Campus Crusade for Christ. Although I had this obsession to buy, and those of you who are my age, I'm 55, you know, back when we were 18, the best-selling book at that time was The Late Great Planet Earth.
Right.
I had to have a copy
of
that.
Yeah.
And I had to have a copy of the Living Bible, which had just come out a couple of years
before. Which was similar, really, to this message Bible that
very,
we use.
Very similar.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because I wasn't saved.
Right.
But I had to have these
things. Those are the popular tools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like every college freshman needs those. So I get to my residence hall.
Right.
I'll never forget, one of the leaders of Campus Crusade for Christ lived one floor below me.
Aha.
Student staff, resident assistant on my floor, was in Campus Crusade for Christ. There was also a Pentecostal guy who was in Campus Crusade for Christ. We all met for a Bible study.
Oh, my.
Which, I don't know, Pastor. I just started going.
All right, whatever.
And being in Campus Crusade for Christ, you go out and witness. Well,
exactly.
Roger and I had gone out to witness, and for once there wasn't anybody to witness to. And he asked me if I had anything I wanted to talk about, and I said, well, yeah, as a matter of fact. I went back to the Bible study we had done earlier. It was on the sower, you know, sower and the seed.
Right.
And I said, you know, I really got convicted. I'm not good soil. I'm like, you know, half rocky, half weedy.
Right.
And so Roger led me then in a prayer
praise
to receive
God.
Jesus. And you're right. I mean, at that point in time, I didn't feel anything. But later on, yeah. I mean, my life began to change. But right there at that moment, and it was just a
you
simple
did it
transaction.
By faith.
Yes,
right.
I did it by
faith.
Transaction between me and the Lord.
Right.
I accepted what he had done for me on the cross.
Exactly.
And I think that's where a lot of people get messed up. Well, yeah, I believe it. Do you really believe it?
Right.
Because have you received
Amen.
It? Have you received
Amen.
The benefits of what Jesus did on the cross? Yes. His salvation is for everyone, and his blood
Amen.
Sacrifice covered every sin by every person.
Right.
But you have to personally say, okay, Lord, I accept it. I'm sorry for my sins, and I believe that you really died for them.
Amen.
I don't know why we went off on that digression,
but
praise
God. Exactly. Well, that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of your salvation. In fact, be willing and eager to talk about your salvation.
And,
you know, that's what it's all about,
right,
Pastor
Jim. And this
Jim.
From a man who's about to be beheaded.
Yes, Paul.
For his
right,
faith. Yeah.
Right. And he's going, hey, you know, don't worry about
don't
it.
Worry
just
about,
get out there.
Don't worry about the gospel and don't worry about me.
Right.
You know,
in other words, take your stand, get your convictions of steel going on the
exactly.
inside of you. Do what God tells you to do. And that's the ministry at Beacon of Hope. It is we take our stand and we say, this is what we believe. We believe in salvation. We are not ashamed of the gospel
exactly.
of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God for salvation. It is what sets us free and gives us that living hope of eternal life and living in heaven eventually someday. So praise God. If there's any of you out there right now that are not sure that you are saved, now is the time for you to make that decision. because we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor Jim, it's very simple. We normally do this at the end, but I think we should do it right now.
Yeah.
Okay? Because right now there might be somebody, one person. If there is one person, God's word says that the angels of heaven rejoice at one person. You know, there's a party going on in heaven when one person prays this prayer
Amen.
And says, yes, OK, I choose to believe. Dear listener, if you're not positive that you're going to heaven, if you die tonight, now is the time to repeat with Pastor Jim. I'm going to pray it and he's going to say it after Amen. Me. You just join him. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in Jesus' name.
I choose to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I choose to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I choose to believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin and sicknesses.
I choose to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin and sicknesses.
I believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
And I accept you now, Lord Jesus.
And I accept you now, Lord Jesus.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
Forgive me for anything and everything.
Forgive me for everything and anything
I've ever said or done.
I've ever said or done.
It was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I repent of my past actions.
I repent of my past actions.
And I walk into this new life.
And I walk into this new life.
Knowing that you're my Savior.
Knowing that you are my Savior.
And I am your child.
And I am your child.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer with Pastor Jim, we want to hear from you.
Amen. Amen.
You can write us. You can write me personally at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Also, during the rest of this show, you can write us an email and we can respond on the air. Or if you don't want us to respond to you on the air, just say personal or whatever if you want to write. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Right. And if you prayed this prayer, I would encourage you, well, biggest things I can encourage you to do is find yourself a Bible-believing church.
Amen.
And find yourself a good Bible that you can
yes.
read, that you can read and understand.
Right.
You know, and get into the Word and get into prayer.
Exactly.
Those three things are some fellowship.
Talk to God.
Talking to God, and getting into the Word. Those are the three most important things for any new believer.
Amen. And let me tell you, as this next song plays, it's going to stir you. If you're a believer or even a brand new believer right now, C.C. Winans, Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Ask God to fill you right now with His presence.
Just
Praise God. We do need a fresh touch from God Almighty, Amen. Don't we, Pastor Jim? Amen. And for those of you that maybe just joined us, you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And it is such a joy to know that God sent his son to this earth, which we're going to start talking about in December, all about the birth of Jesus mm-hmm. and so forth. But that he sent the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus goes back to heaven and he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to fill you and live on the inside of you. And I love that song by C.C. Winans, Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Fill me on the inside. Mm-hmm. We need to continually be refilled and filled up, so to speak. You know, because, you know, life just tends to happen to us, you know, on a daily basis. And we can go hours and not really think much about God or not spend time, you know, in the word or prayer. And God says, hey, I want you to be reminded. So I want you to talk about right. this, you know. Right. And it's fun to talk about the Holy Spirit, what God's doing in our lives, you know. And it is also very important that we are aware that we have an adversary that does not want us to grow in God, that does, let's put it this way, wants us to feel ashamed of the gospel. The devil wants you to not talk about God. The devil wants you to be ashamed of your faith. The devil wants you to kind of recoil as a little, you know, in a fetal position when it comes to talking to anybody about what God is doing in your life. The devil does not want you talking about the miracles, the answers to prayer. Isn't that correct?
Exactly. Well, why would he?
Yeah, why would he? You know? He's out to destroy the credibility of God Almighty.
Right,
you know?
And he'll do it any way he can.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think especially for believers like us,
right,
we tend to stand between two worlds,
yeah.
as it were. And, you know, it's sometimes hard to stand up for your faith. I know in my workplace.
Yeah.
I am by far and away, I'm sure, probably the most conservative-minded person there because of my beliefs. There are certain
right.
beliefs that probably everybody else has there. I'll wager I'm about the only one that believes in creation.
Okay.
And a few right. other political topics, which I won't go into. But,
right.
you know, and it is, and, you know, Satan would like to keep us shut up. And, you know, I decided one day, you know, people were talking about, you know, well, they meaning, you know, creationists say the world's only, you know, 6,000 years old. And I said, no, that's not what they say.
No.
You know, that's not what they say.
No.
But I thought I could sit back and not say anything. Then I thought, no, I need to get involved in this. And it was hard because Satan, you know, Satan likes to put, you know, fear of man.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, fear of other people. And
yes.
Proverbs says fear of man brings
a snare.
You know, you get tripped up in that fear because
yeah.
you're afraid, well, what are they going to think of me?
Exactly. That's the problem right there.
You know, and
what are people going to think?
Right. And we all want to be liked.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Exactly.
Dang
unfortunately.
It. You know?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, dang it. We all want to be loved.
Yes.
And, you know, we want people to like us.
Appreciated,
right.
loved.
If I
not
speak
rejected.
Out, if I speak out for God.
Right.
They're not going to like me. They're going to think I'm nuts. They're going to ostracize me. I could lose my job.
Right.
You know, I mean, praise God, that last one, you know, we don't have to worry about too much. But,
right.
you know, it can be really tough.
Well, I was thinking about this the other day at Thanksgiving dinner because I sat down at one of my sister's tables and one of her good friends sat down. And something was said politically. Okay. Immediately politically, somebody said something. And the friend said, wait a minute, I just heard something on TV that how to ruin a Thanksgiving meal. Talk about politics or talk about God. And she said, so we're not going to do that. You know, the lady was and it was just interesting because people are very vocal about politics,
mm-hmm.
generally speaking, let's say, let's just use that
yes,
one. They're very
definitely.
Vocal and they don't hesitate to be vocal about politics, you know, rah, 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 nah, 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 this guy did that, rah, 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 you know, and that leader is to blame for this. And they tend to be very bold about that, Pastor Jim.
Well, and I don't want to step on your toes, Pastor,
Uh-oh.
Or a lot of the other folks that come to Beacon of Hope. But people also tend to be vocal about their ball teams.
Well, I was just getting ready to say that.
You know,
I agree with you. We are very vocal about sports. We are vocal about politics.
Right.
I mean, we've got some dyed-in-the-wool Patriot fans. I cannot understand that for the life of me. And yeah, I'm going to be in very
big...
May
God have mercy on their souls.
Exactly. And I'm going to be in very big trouble by Wednesday night if anybody heard my comment. Because, you know, we're Bucks fans, right, Bill? And what's the score, by the way? Because it's playing right. They're playing right now.
I think it's 0-0.
Oh well, that's a good score.
Okay. Yeah, we can go with that.
All right. Okay. Thanks,
but
Bill.
Yeah, I mean.
But we are verbal about our sports and our teams and who we believe.
But because the devil has put a lie into people's minds that says, "Oh, but religion is a personal thing."
It's a personal thing.
You know, that's the biggest line of baloney that I've heard since.
Why is that baloney, Pastor Jim?
Because if you read the Bible, you find out, yes, there is a personal dimension to it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course there is. But there's a corporate dimension to it.
Yes.
Getting together as a body of believers.
Right.
There's an outreach dimension to it.
Right.
I mean, look at Paul. Paul and Barnabas. If it had been such a personal thing, the gospel would have never reached Europe.
Exactly. And, you know, with that in mind, because we're getting ready to study the Gospels and teach the Gospels, you and Pastor Michelle and I, in the next few weeks, and it's going to be fun. But one of the things that we learn in the Gospels is Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, and he said, go and be out there,
share what you know.
Exactly. And
he told them to go and heal the sick.
Exactly.
Raise the dead.
Woo. Now,
okay. Now that's not a personal matter.
I'm looking for there, Pastor Jim? Not dramatic, but you know, you're out there on the edge when you are actually saying you got a headache really bad right now. Do you want me to pray for you? Cause I can pray for you right now.
Right.
You know? I mean, these disciples, when they were walking the earth, they didn't just walk for days and days, never run into anybody and never lay hands on people and never talk to them about God.
Yeah.
But yet, we have got to, and that's what this show is about today, developing convictions of steel that we know that we know that we know that we know that Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit lives in us, that we have a mission. And we've got a chore to do for God, and that is to be out there on the front line and to not be ashamed of the gospel. No. I know I'm preaching here, but I'm preaching to the saved, hopefully, and some others that need to hear and be reminded that we need to be strong in our convictions. God doesn't say be mealy-mouthed about what you believe. You know, just be a wimp. You know, no, he says be a hefty bag, you know?
Right.
Not a wimpy bag. You know, and yet, Pastor Jim, so often people get pulled into the lie of the devil that, oh, I can't talk about Jesus. I can talk about politics. I can run this party down or this person down or this president down or whatever, this Speaker of the House. But I can't talk about what God has done in my life.
Right.
Can't talk about the answers to prayer. It's a lie of the devil.
Exactly. And, you know, because we give into it being a personal thing. And
yes.
Yeah, it is. It's a very personal thing. But when you get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't help but talk about it.
Exactly. Your life is totally different.
Yeah, right. You know, and, that's such a lie of the devil to think that, you know, it's okay to believe what you want to believe. You just don't talk about it. Well, no. That's not true.
We have beacon of hope. We're out there. We're out there on the edge, and we say, hey, you know, if you don't know Jesus, we want to help you get to know Jesus. Do you want to read that?
No, it's from Brenda. It says, Pastor Marcia.
Oh, cool.
Hello. Thank you for sharing. Sounds like a winner.
Oh,
blessings,
fantastic.
To you from Brenda.
Oh, Brenda, we love you. She is a Beacon person who moved away to Alabama a few years back. And actually, Brenda, I was going to talk about you in a minute. That's really weird. I'm glad you wrote in because of my new book and how you were influenced your life by my daughter. And so I'm going to mention you in a minute, Brenda. So praise God. So Pastor Jim, we've got to declare today on the air that this is the time God is calling soldiers to be hefty, to be strong, to be not wimpy people, but to know who they believe in and to be not ashamed of the gospel.
Right.
And to take your stand and say, yes, I am a soldier in the army of the Lord. I am a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking believer that believes in laying hands on the sick and seeing them raised up from their sickness. We believe that in the name of Jesus, and we practice it.
Amen.
Woo.
Well, this ain't going exactly where you thought it was, is it?
It's not going anywhere where I thought it was. Did you want to read something else? Or no, okay. Praise God. So here we are, and we are in this studio in Clearwater, Florida today because we choose to be.
Amen.
We could be watching football. You could be taking a nap, and I could be watching football, and you could be taking a nap, and we could be just relaxing on this Sunday afternoon. We do it. We spend the money every week because we believe that we want to do our part to get this message, this dramatic message that has changed our lives. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Pastor Jim. It is what it's all about, and there are people out there like Brenda. That can be a part of this ministry by simply going to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, becoming a partner with us, or you can write me, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Actually, you can go to our website. We have it set up so people can give financially through PayPal. And, you know, we don't say much about finances, but it does cost money to be on the air every Sunday. Rarely do you hear me get on the air and ask for money. But I will say that when you plant your finances into the soil of this ministry, Beacon of Hope Ministries, which is going on 10 years old now, we have been giving out the Word of God faithfully week after week after week. Sunday morning service, Wednesday night, live radio show for 2 hours every Sunday afternoon. I mean, we are giving out the Word of God, and we're doing it because we believe in what we're doing.
Amen.
Wow. And you come from Chicago. You say, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, God brought you here to be a part of this ministry two years ago, right?
Yeah, a little bit over two years ago. When we moved down here, I knew I'd fallen out of fellowship for a while, and I started looking for a church, went on the internet, found Beacon of Hope on there and explored the website and thought, okay, compared it with other churches in the area, and this was... Beacon was just, it felt right.
It's the Word, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was all about the Word, because that's what we're about. Where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. You're a Word person.
I'm a Word person.
We believe in this Word of God. We don't just get on the air for 2 hours every Sunday and just talk about ideas. We talk about God's Word and how it is impacting our lives and how it can impact our listeners' lives and change them all for the better. Because God is doing a fresh work in His people, and He's ready to do something in your life, dear listener, today. He does not want you to be the same way you've always been. He wants you to become full of the convictions of steel that we're talking about today on Living the Good Life. We're glad you've joined us. Let's do a little bit of station ID, and we'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Sitting right beside me is my wonderful associate pastor, one of my two, and Pastor Jim. The other one is Pastor Michelle, that hosted the show a couple weeks ago when I was in Indiana with my grandkids. And, you know, it's just such a blessing to have the two of you on board and all the others in the ministry that contribute to make this ministry what God wants it to be. And I thank God for bringing you our way. So God's doing some great things. We've got a lot going on at Beacon of Hope every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. What is that about? What happens at 11 o'clock?
That's
and
our,
where would you give our 3700
Almerton. Where you can't miss us. We're just like behind the Burger King. We're right around the corner from Five Guys, and you know, we're right there with all the restaurants. So it's a great time.
Brand new.
But Sunday morning at 11 o'clock is our normal Sunday morning worship service. I should never say normal. It's rarely normal.
you want to explain that? Somebody out there might go, why? Well, that sounds a little weird.
Well, yeah. let me say this. In case dear listeners, you've not figured this out. We are a charismatic church.
Charismatic. What's that mean,
we
Pastor Jim?
Speak in tongues.
Right.
And we believe in the moving of the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We believe that the gospel is preached with signs following.
Yes.
And our
what does that mean?
That
signs
means
following.
God will confirm his words with healings.
Amen.
And deliverances.
Yes.
And you know, we just look forward to seeing God move and,
right,
and deliver people.
Amen.
And, you know, our worship is exuberant.
Yes.
We have exuberant worship. We clap our hands. We stand.
We raise our hands.
We raise our hands. We play tambourines.
We get excited
about
it.
We do get excited.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an exciting. And God is something.
Yeah.
You know, we talked earlier about people get all excited. They go to baseball games and shout, you know, shout till they're hoarse. Well, Psalm 47, clap your hands, all you people.
Amen.
Shout out to God with a
Amen.
Voice of triumph.
Praise God.
You know? So that's kind of what our worship's all
right.
about. We
sure
just
is.
Love to worship God and praise God. And then, of course, we always hear the word preached.
Yes.
And there's always a time of ministry.
Mm-hmm. And didn't that turn out beautiful today?
Yes,
I mean, we were just, this beautiful music surround me, O Lord, came, you know, and then the people started coming up for ministry, and it was just one after another. God did some mighty things
yes.
this morning. So we lay hands on the sick for people that are sick, emotionally going through difficult times.
And I'm believing there's work being done that we can't even see yet.
Amen.
We have not seen the full fruit of what happened this morning.
Yes. It was a good day.
It was a,
it was
very
a really good day.
Good day.
So that's Sunday mornings at 11.
Sunday mornings, and, you know, it's you know, we're usually out there by 12:30-ish, you know.
Right.
But, again, it's like with a radio program. I always look at Pastor. Every time I do the show, it's like, it's already 6 o'clock. What happened?
Right.
It's the same thing on Sunday morning. It's
yeah.
like,
it goes so
what?
Quick, doesn't it?
It's already time?
Right. And it's just, it's such a blessing.
It
you
is.
Know, there's nothing I would rather be doing than full-time ministry. And you feel the same way. We have secular jobs to pay some bills. But
right.
but this is where our heart is. Tell our listening audience what happens on Wednesday night every week at Beacon of Hope.
Every week, every Wednesday night, we have prayer meeting starting at about 6:15. We pray, you know, we take prayer requests. We spend time in prayer for the prayer requests, special needs. We pray for the church. We pray the word.
Right.
We use prayers that avail much a lot of times to just to center our prayers on the word, because we know that the word of God is God's will. And if we
exactly.
pray according to God's will, he hears us. And according to 1 John chapter 5, if he hears us, we have what we ask.
Amen.
And so we spend, you know, from 6:15 to a little bit before 7, we spend time in prayer, those of us that are there. 7 o'clock, we have Bible study. It's very interactive, which is really cool.
It's a fun time, isn't it?
Fun
I
time
love it. We set up tables. People bring their supper.
Right. People come and eat. And we just share the word. I mean, we have a theme.
Right.
You know, you or whoever's leading, either me or Pastor Michelle. We talk about like a topic, and then people kind of jump in, and it's very, very interactive.
It is. It's fun. Everybody enjoys it. We're out of there by about 8:30.
Yeah.
So we welcome you if you're in the Tampa Bay area, Wednesday nights at 7, including Engineer Bill. You are welcome on Wednesday nights at 7. Even you are welcome on Wednesday nights at 7.
Especially you.
Especially you. And, you know.
And you don't have to go through no body scanner.
No body scanner, nothing. Huh? Just come and enjoy the Word of God and have a good time with everybody. So anyway, and so we're glad you've joined us. One of the things of our ministry, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and our webmaster, Maxine, up in Georgia, has just revamped it a little bit again, tweaked the front homepage.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Yeah, and our publishing page. We have a whole branch of Beacon of Hope that is a separate branch. It's called Beacon of Hope Publishing, because 3 years ago, God birthed the first book through me, and then the second book that same year in 07, then nothing until this year. But we have Pastor David Pettit's book. His new book is on there that Maxine and her company and Carol's company, McWitt Creations, mm-hmm. has just published. And we also have Nathan Burton's CD there. And we have, and I'm going to hold it up to the camera. Can you see this? It is our brand new book that just came out this week. It hit Amazon last Saturday. It is the third book that I've written. This one is, can they see it on the screen there, Bill? All right. Oh, okay, that's all right. Maybe they can get a general idea. Okay, you can see it. All right. Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost, that I just finished and we published, and it just came out this week. It is all about my daughter, and my daughter is a beautiful, wonderful, talented daughter who has the call of God on her life. And that's why I was going to mention Brenda, because one of the times that Lori was here in Florida living with me, Brenda, our dear friend Brenda's father, was dying. And Brenda will remember this, that I took Lori with me to the nursing home to minister to Brenda's dad. And so Brenda has always had a connection there with Lori. And Lori's been in and out of our ministry at Beacon many times through the years because she has had a very severe problem with drug addiction. And in April of this year, Lori was sentenced to prison. 5 years, she has to serve two. She's in a minimum security prison in Indiana now. And I was able to go see her 2 weeks ago. That was one of the reasons for my trip to Indiana, to see my daughter. I had not seen her for a year and a half. So it was a real blessing. 4 hours, full contact visit with her. It was incredible, Bill.
And your friend that you had not seen in a long time. I like that story, too.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you know, this was just a blessing. The writing of this book, we did a book signing this morning at Beacon of Hope, and we will be doing others. But you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can order them off of the website. Mm-hmm. You can get them right there. Or if you're in the local area and come to a service, we got stacks of them. And one of the good things that's happening, Pastor Jim, with this book already is that it's getting into the hands of the inmates in the prison where my daughter is. And it is Lori's life story, but it is also filled with scripture in every verse. You've already started to read it. You get a general idea, don't you? Do you want to comment or anything?
Well, yeah, not so much about the contents, because I'm waiting for Ray to finish it. Then
okay.
I'm going to read it
all right.
Fully, but... You know, we talked about convictions of steel.
Yes.
How many, and I'm being quite serious here, how many Bible teachers, Bible-believing teachers, how many pastors would write a book about their drug-addicted daughter? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that hit me as we were sitting here. It's like, talk about conviction. Most people would try and sweep that under the rug because you want to put up the appearance that, well, my family doesn't have any problems. We're perfect.
Right.
You know, heaven knows we're Bible believers. We are perfect.
Well, and that's what you're right about that. You know, a lot of people would give that.
And it just takes a lot of courage and a lot of conviction.
Praise God.
God told you.
Oh, yeah. He poured this book. I wrote it in 3.5 weeks in May. Yeah, 3.5 weeks.
And it's so, I just think that that's such an example of somebody with that courage.
Thank you for saying that.
That conviction that steel, you know, steely conviction that you have, because it's like, okay, I do believe the gospel and I believe there's a call in my daughter's life.
Right.
And I'm not giving up. God hasn't given up.
Amen.
And
she's still alive.
Exactly.
One of her good friends died last week in an overdose.
Mm.
And the boyfriend burnt the motel room to hide the evidence. That was one of her good friends where she lived actually shortly before she was arrested in January.
Oh.
And she is broken up over that, which gives Lori more interest in getting these books out. We're actually mailing 25 from the publisher tomorrow to the prison.
God.
I will read the little paragraph at the top. Daughter of a doctor, that's my ex-husband, and teacher, that's me. Granddaughter of a pastor and missionary, that was my dad. And yet Lori's life choice was to use drugs, not only affecting her life and that of her son, that's my grandson, but also her parents, family, and friends, what went wrong. And then it goes on to talk about this. But thank you for pointing that out because, yes, it is courageous to get this out. But I am believing that this message will help a lot of people that struggle with addictions of one kind or another because there's all kinds of addictions out there. So you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and grab your copy or copies. Also, we are giving you the opportunity to be a partner with us at the prison where Lori is by donating $5 for each book. That those books are being sent to the prison free of charge for them. They're being given away there. And the retail on this from Amazon is $13.50. But we've got a special deal. We can, if you donate $5 a book, we will send those books we will send books to the prison for those donations, which is kind of cool. Ooh, I said all that. I love this next song. Terry McCallum, Spirit of the Lord, mm-hmm. Fall on Me.
Jesus, bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we welcome you in this place, Lord. We welcome the new thing that we've never known before. We welcome the river of God to flow mightily through the streets of our cities, God. Hallelujah. Let it happen, God. Let it happen in us, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's open our hearts as we sing together.
Spirit of the Lord, fall on me.
Pastor Jim, that's what it's all about. God moving in our lives in a miraculous way and changing us. And I have got to say, I believe with all my heart that God is doing, and he is, an incredible work in my daughter right now. She was called to the ministry many, many years ago as a very young child. In fact, in 1991, she was part of a 10-person team that went from my church I was pastoring in Indiana to Honduras. Mm. God used her prophetically. She spoke words over people. She prayed over people in long lines. She prayed for their healing. And at some point in her teen years, the devil really got in there. And you know what I'm talking about here. And why we're talking about this convictions of steel today is because God wants to strengthen each of us and cause us to really get rooted and grounded in what we believe. I'm thinking of the story in Matthew, I believe, where Jesus, this is not where we were going to go, but this is where I'm going right now, where Jesus said, it's your foundation that's important. If you build your house on sand, okay, and the sand, what happens? And I'm telling you this because I have, this past year, I'm a realtor, I have listed 5 homes in the Tampa Bay area that ended up sitting
built on sand,
sitting on a sinkhole. And on Wednesday of this past week, I just lost another listing to a sinkhole because the house is cracking. Now, we're talking a house that's almost $400,000 in value that is cracking all over the place because it is sitting on sand. And it's in Matthew, but I think we need to go there because this convictions of steel has to do with what we believe. In fact, Jesus himself said, all things are possible to him who believes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To him who believes, all things are possible. Okay? Now, somebody asked me about Lori. Do you believe that she is going to get straightened out and be the person that God's called her to be? Absolutely, with all my heart. She's already doing it in prison. She is ministering now. She is praying with people, and things are happening right there. You know, as a result of the fact I could not, nor you could, get into that women's prison without doing something awful.
Well,
you
wouldn't
even. Yeah, you really have to be doing something awful to get in that women's prison. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? We could not
get access.
We don't have access. And just like Paul ministered so much in the jails, did he not?
Yes, he did.
Why? Because he was
in them so much.
He was in them.
And he knew. I mean,
here we see Paul, because we were talking about him earlier in the show, writing his last letter. Ends up being to his spiritual son, Timothy. He wrote it in his jail cell,
mm-hmm,
right before he was beheaded. What does that say? He doesn't say in that letter, I'm so afraid about what's going to happen to me. Oh, I'm just so worried. Can you do anything? Can you go do this? Can you do that?
Yeah,
can you pull a string?
Yeah, he just says, okay, first of all, he says, I know whom I have believed.
Amen.
Later on, he says, I've fought the fight.
Woo!
I've kept the faith. I'm ready to go.
Let's go there. Let's go there. We weren't going there, but I tell you what, that just reminded me. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Chapter 4, starting about
2 Timothy 4. Go ahead and read that and explain what that means. Woo, that's good stuff.
Well,
thank
you. I think with verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Paul knew his time was about up. His time on earth was about up. I fought the good fight. I finished the race.
Right.
I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me in the future the crown of righteousness,
mm-hmm,
which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day.
Wow.
And not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing.
Oh.
I just love that. You know, and, you know, Paul's not whining about the fact he's about to die.
Right.
You know,
no, he's not at all. You don't hear him say that at all.
He looked at it as a privilege. The man had conviction. He said, you know, I fought the fight.
Yes.
I love this. I finished the race. You know, Paul's saying, I did everything. Oh, that I could be like Paul. When my time comes, I could say, I did everything. I finished the race God set before me.
Amen.
You know, I've kept the faith. And I'm looking, you know, I'm looking forward to my crown.
You know, one of these days he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always said, as tough as my life has been, because it's not been a piece of cake, guys. It's been really hard in a lot of ways. And I have had decisions, and I know you have had too, crossroad decisions in my life where it was, okay, if I follow God in ministry to this extent, it's going to mean I lose these friends. I lose this security financially. I lose this and I lose that. It meant a marriage for me, that I lost a marriage. It meant some very serious things in my life when I chose to follow God to the extent that I have. And I'm not bellyaching about that, Pastor Jim. I count it a privilege to have been that sure that I hear from God, that I know God is speaking to, mm-hmm, me and through me, and that I have those convictions of steel, and that I'm not ashamed of the, right, of the calling of God on my life, even though it is different than most people around me. They don't understand me, and I do feel misunderstood sometimes. I'll have to admit that. I feel like I'm kind of alone out there on the limb of the tree of faith sometimes. I do, you know? Feel like, okay, wow, you know? But I know that I know, and that's what we're talking about here, and that's what Paul was saying in these final words. Do you want to go back to those words and explain them a little more? We're in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you're just joining us.
Yeah, actually, I may just back up to the verse 1.
I think you should.
Because you know, these were Paul's final instructions to Timothy. He says, I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead. Okay, that's pretty much everybody.
Right.
And because of his appearing and his kingdom, okay, I'm charging you because of the soon coming of Christ and because of the kingdom he's going to be setting up, proclaim the message, preach the message, persist in it, whether convenient or not.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's not convenient, right?
Well,
not convenient to get to church, not convenient to pray, not convenient to pick up my Bible.
And persist in it.
Right.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, can't I have a day off? No.
Yeah. It's a way of life.
It really is.
It is. The convictions of steel.
Whether it's convenient or not.
Right.
Okay. And I agree with you. Sometimes, you know, it's not convenient.
Right.
You know, sometimes coming to church may not be convenient, or going to Bible study may not be convenient. But it's the most important thing. It's got to be the most important thing.
It almost rendered you speechless, didn't it?
It did, because I can't. For me, it is the most important thing. I mean, yeah, and it's caused disputes between me and Ray. Between me and my family.
Right, sure.
I mean, they all thought I was nuts.
Right. Because we are. To them, we are in some way, we're strange.
Right.
We're different. We're out there. We believe what we believe, you know?
We are a peculiar people.
We are peculiar. Sure we are. Convictions of steel.
Amen. But it's like fellowshipping. Like I told earlier, for new believers, getting into the Word and fellowship and prayer.
You need it.
Those are the three things that our faith. That's what helps our faith to grow, our life in Christ to grow.
Amen.
If we neglect any of them, then we're going to grow up lopsided.
Well, the devil will always throw stumbling blocks in your way.
Right.
You know, there will always be a football game. There will always be this or that. One of the good things about this radio show now, and that's thanks to Engineer Bill in there, is that we have the ability, Bill, we thank you for that you make it available to us.
Turning in that's my radio impersonation.
That was a really good one. Thank you very much.
Oh, no problem.
But he gets the file from Transfer Big Files to us after the show within a few hours. And on Monday, each show is on our website. And I was on our website earlier this morning, very early. And we now, I mean, Maxine's got shows core back to 07 and 08.
Wow,
some of the older people that helped start this broadcast.
Does Living the Good Life have a Facebook page?
Actually, no. And that is probably something that needs to happen. But no, we don't. But I will tell you this, that as of 2 o'clock this afternoon, we have a trailer on YouTube for the new book, Letters to Lori. And within 45 minutes, there were 6 hits already.
Really?
And that was this afternoon. And the way to find that trailer, it's really cool what Maxine designed for the book, is just Google, or not Google, whatever you do. Go to YouTube and just put my name in it, Marcia McAllister, but it's spelled a little weird, folks. Go to our website and you'll see how it's spelled. It's M-A-R-C-I-A and it's M-C capital A-L-L-I-S-T-E-R.
Can I just type Letters to Lori?
I don't know, because I asked Maxine. You can test that out for us, Engineer Bill.
I'll test it out right now.
Okay, it's Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost. But I know coming, if you put my name in, it comes up.
Cool.
So it's on YouTube. So I say all that to say we have all these things in our lives now. We have electronic things and benefits to getting the word out. But they can also keep us from spending time in the word.
Oh,
can
absolutely.
They not?
Satan loves to put up distractions.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to read the word, but first I got to check my email.
Right. Exactly. So what we're saying is it's important that you take time in the Word. And I didn't finish this. This show is always up on Monday of right. after each show. So it doesn't matter. If you can't hit it on Sunday, that's fine. You can hit it in the middle of the night when you can't sleep. Get up in your pajamas, turn your internet on, and mm-hmm. listen to some of these Living the Good Life shows, and you will grow spiritually by the things we talk about and the concepts and the Word that we teach. So Paul was saying to Timothy, I've fought the good fight. I finished the race.
I finished it.
I'm okay.
I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go. I've done what God's called me to do.
I've finished the course. I've completed what he's called me to do.
Wow.
And I think it's important, you know, Satan didn't take Paul's life away. Nero, Emperor right. Nero, didn't take Paul's life away.
How did he die? Can you tell us that?
He was beheaded.
Right.
He was, after the book of Acts closed, you know, after Paul had been...
Right.
Paul was... brought before Nero
right.
and gave his testimony. He was acquitted.
Right.
So he was set free. He went and did one more missionary journey, which is when he wrote First Timothy and Titus.
Okay.
And then he was captured again, put in prison in Rome.
Right.
Which is when he wrote Second Timothy.
Okay.
And then somewhere between 65 and 68 AD, he was taken outside the walls of Rome and beheaded.
Okay. He was a Roman citizen.
That's why he was beheaded instead
right.
of crucified.
Right. So, but, you know, he knew it was coming. He knew that his work on this earth, but his work goes on. You
right.
know, look at this.
Well,
look at this.
His work goes on because
yes.
the letters that he wrote became the, you know, form a good part of the New Testament.
Right.
You know, so yeah, Paul's
That's
work
one of
continues.
The good benefits of the printed word, you know. So praise God. All right. We've got to do a song here. I love this song. It's The Potter's Hand, and it shows that we are in God's hand and he's doing a work in us. And we'll talk about it on the other side.
I'm captured by you.
Praise God. I love that song. We're going to do that at Beacon, aren't we? Amen. We used to do it, and I love that song. Dear listeners, go with us to 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 to 5, and you're going to understand why this whole show has been about convictions of steel. And I'm going to read it first in the Message Bible and then let Pastor Jim amplify on it as he would like to. In the Message Bible, 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 to 5, every time we think of you, we thank God for you. This is Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica. He says, day and night you're in our prayers as we call to mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in following our Master Jesus Christ before God our Father. It is clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you very much, and dear one, get that right now. If you don't get anything else today on this show, it is clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you very much, but also has put his hand on you for something special. Brenda and every other person listening right now out there, God loves you very much and has put his hand on you for something special. When the message we preached came to you, it wasn't just words. Something happened in you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions. And that's where that phrase came from.
Amen.
Woo,
amen.
Pastor Jim, do you want to comment on those three verses?
Yeah. Well, I like the fact, you know, Paul was always thanking God for, and we read this at the beginning of nearly all of his letters.
Right.
You know, Ephesians, Philippians, every church he planted, he was always thanking God for all of them.
Amen.
Now, I think that's pretty miraculous just in and of itself, because not all pastors could say they're even thankful for their own flock, let alone churches scattered across, you know, half of you know, Asia Minor.
We are at Beacon, though. We love our flock.
And
we love our sheep.
We do. And, you know, Paul says he remembers them constantly in the prayers.
Right.
And then he says he recalls in the presence of God the Father their work of faith.
Work of faith.
And I was saying during the song, it hit me this morning. You know, so often we talk about faith versus works.
Yes.
Okay, or, you know, how we're not saved by works, we're saved by faith.
Right.
But Paul calls faith a work.
A work.
You know, you have to work. You know, it's almost like working at believing. And I don't want to, you know,
but you build your faith by studying the word,
and that's why it is a work. And we do works of faith.
It's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. You know, a work of faith. Salvation is a work of faith. A baptism in the Holy Spirit is a work of faith. Moving in the gifts of the Spirit is a work of faith. Getting up to go to church sometimes is a work of faith.
Amen. Yes.
Okay. Feeding the hungry.
Right.
You know, tithing, whatever. Those are all like works of faith. Your labor of love.
Amen.
Okay. You know, loving others can be labor.
It certainly,
you know,
can.
We have the love of God poured out in our hearts.
Yeah.
You know, by the Holy Spirit. So you know, sometimes though it's hard to express that.
Right. Exactly.
Okay?
This labor of love.
Right. And then our endurance or our patience of hope.
Right.
Oof. Okay.
Yes.
Without hope, we can't.
We got to have that
hope.
That's the anchor. It says in one of the verses, it's the anchor of our souls. You know, oh, it looks like Pastor Carol's on with a comment. Go ahead.
Hi. Of course, I'm listening, as I always do.
Good. Good to talk to you.
That just came to mind, I picked up my Max Lucado Bible, and I found this little passage in Numbers. It's in reference to something that he has referred to in Numbers, and it simply says, our Savior kneels down and gazes upon the darkest acts of our lives, but rather than recoil in horror, he reaches out in kindness and says, I can clean that up if you'd like for me to.
Exactly.
I like that.
Pastor Carol, can you just turn your computer speakers down just a little bit?
I can do that. In fact, I can do better. I can step outside with it.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, there you go. That'll help. You know, Carol, we've been talking, and I know you've been listening to the whole concept of convictions of steel. Steel in your convictions, you know. And don't you think the world needs people to know what they know and be convinced of this labor of love, this work of faith, this patience of hope that Paul is talking about here, that Pastor Jim was just talking about?
definitely think it's the only way we can get through life, because so many times and so often people put, as you were saying earlier, things aside that belong to the Word of God and have anything to do with worshiping God and seeking a closer relationship with Him. We try to find it in misguided information such as sports heroes, and I'm picking on them because I think they have a great duty that they can do
right.
when other people can't
right.
because of the influence they have on young folk.
Mm-hmm.
If they would just stand up and speak the courage of their convictions, like Tim Tebow at the University of Florida, I'm sure he's taken a lot of hassle now in the professional game because
right.
he refuses to bow down to things that are not of Christ.
Right.
And I think if our young people today can find the reason to not involve themselves in addictions of any type is to become addicted to the Word of God and living the way God wants us
Amen.
To live, what a blessing that would be for their lives, their friends, their families, and ultimately it will get them beyond this earth.
Exactly.
It's very hard to stand up for your convictions, as
Absolutely.
Pastor Jim was saying. You get ridiculed, you get chastised, you get made fun of. But today's person that is in this world trying to make a change and a difference, everything you read about, all the great philanthropists, the great educators, the great philosophers, has one thing in common. They all had a strong spiritual belief in Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they know what the influence has been in their life based on that relationship. They know where they were, and they know where they have come, and now they know where they're going.
Amen.
I don't think there's a better thing you can say.
No, I agree with you.
We start out with an empty slate, and somehow our agenda fills it to the point that we ignore the fact that our spiritual life is the one that matters the most.
Exactly. Boy, we do, don't we? But this is what Paul is saying here to the church of Thessalonica. When the message we preached came to you, it wasn't just words. Something happened in you. And that is our prayer on this radio show, is it not, Carol? Week after week, we want something to happen. It does in us. Carol, I mean, doesn't it? It does in us, Pastor Jim.
When we're on the radio and speaking on each Sunday,
right.
I know that it changes my life for that day, and for the whatever I hear in there changes my life. It gives me great thought.
Right.
I was just sitting in my office and going through some of the things that I have written over the years, and the sermons and the messages and the Sunday school lessons, and reviewing those as I was listening to the two of you speak. And I'm astonished at some of the things I even write myself, because I know that they are God-ordained.
Right.
And when I go back and read them again, I'm going, who wrote this? And then I see my name on it, you know, and the date, which
right.
I always do. And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus, that I felt strongly enough that I could put my feelings on paper, and that given the opportunity, I could stand up and speak them to other people.
Amen. And that's steel, Holy Spirit putting steel in your convictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
if we don't have
about.
Steel in our convictions, whether it be to love your family, to be a good person, to be professional in whatever you do, then we're a pushover for anything. You know, there's an old country song that says, if you don't stand up for something, you'll fall for anything.
There you go.
And that's the truth. Well, I'm going to leave you guys. It's just, I just happened to turn the Bible open there and found that, and I thought, boy, let's just kind of wrap it up and say, you got to know that your life is a mess, as we were speaking about Lori, and the many Loris out there, and some men I met yesterday, their lives had been a mess.
Right.
But God said to them, finally, through the association with a reform ministry that works with people who are addicted to everything, you know, Jesus says, you know, that's kind of a mess, isn't it? I'm looking at it, and it's kind of tangled up, and it's a mess, but I can help you with it if you want me to do
Amen.
It.
Amen. There you go. So no matter what our listeners are going through, whether it be addictions of one kind or another, because addictions are very common these days, especially alcoholism and drug addiction.
And depression is just killing our people right and left.
Oh, it is.
And the times are not getting any better, you know, in the financial world.
You're right.
And in the world of workaday, when we've all been taught from youth, you know, that you've got to work to earn a living, whatever it might be.
Right.
But when those jobs are shutting down, cutting down, and people who have spent years in one job or the other that they particularly enjoy, and it's been their profession, and all of a sudden it's shut down, people are doing terrible things to themselves and to other people.
Right.
And we just have to stand to the courage of our convictions and know that God will get us through it. There's
Amen.
Nothing he can't do. And I know each Sunday that you and I are on that show together, we try to get that message across. Mm-hmm. And I know you and Pastor Jim and Pastor Michelle do the same thing.
Exactly.
We've got to get the message across that it might be shambles, but God can change it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Carol, you're a blessing. We love you so much. God bless you.
Well, you guys have a great rest of the show, and I know that the people are listening, and I know that this ministry is ordained for this show. So
praise God.
I know it's reaching lives and changing.
Thank you for calling in.
God bless both of you, and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. River of My Life by Debbie Selby. Praise God. That's one of my favorite songs, Pastor Jim.
I like that song.
I do too. River of My Life, because it just shows that he is the river of our lives, you know? And as we develop those convictions of steel, we realize it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
It's all about Jesus. What do we hear in December every year? Jesus is the reason for the season.
Right.
And we're going to be talking more about that. I'm excited about the Christmas series that we're going to teach. In 1 Thessalonians 1, about verse 7 or 8, in the Message Bible, it says this: your lives are echoing the Master's word. Praise God. I want my life to echo God's word, Pastor Jim. And it says, not only in the provinces, but all over the place, the news of your faith in God is out. I want that kind of news to get out, Pastor Jim, about me.
Amen.
And about you, that the news of our faith in God is out. Okay? We don't even have to say anything anymore. You're the message. And I love that in the Message Bible, the way it says that. You're the message. People come up and tell us how you received us with open arms and how you deserted the dead idols of your old life so you could embrace and serve God, the true God. They marvel at how expectantly you await the arrival of his son, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescued us from certain doom. I want you to comment on all that, Pastor Jim, and we appreciate Carol Conan. She's a blessing
Amen.
To us. What do you have to say about all this, this whole topic of convictions of steel? Have at it, brother.
Well, it's important, I think, on a couple of different levels. First of all, just on your own personal level, to stand up against whatever Satan throws at you. And that can be, I know,
Amen.
I speak from experience. That can be really
tough.
It can be tough. Because it's not easy. And, you know, it's not easy for a lot of reasons. You know, just personally, whatever struggles we're going through, we have to stand on the Word of God. And
Amen.
That can be hard. Because
yes.
sometimes all you have to go on is just keeping that Word right in front of your eyes.
Exactly.
And reading it and meditating on it, whatever. Because that may be sometimes that's about all you got.
Right.
But that's those convictions of steel. I'm going to stand on the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm going to believe in the Word of God. But also in our, you know, just as we've talked about throughout the whole show, in just standing firm in what you believe, no matter what the world says, no matter
exactly.
what the world does. And that's why I like this. It's like Paul was commenting to the church in Thessalonica. Look, you know what? And I like, this says that for the Lord's message rang out from you, not it leaked out or it snuck out or whatever.
In other words,
it
we boldly declared.
Yeah, I hear like, you know, those big, huge cathedral bells. That's how
right.
it was ringing out loud.
Woo, I like that.
Not only in Greece, but all over the place. It
yes.
was ringing out. And therefore, you know, Paul says, we don't have to say anything because your lives do it.
Yes.
And having conviction of steel.
Yes.
Means our lives are going to show forth the gospel.
Amen.
You know, because, and I've often said this, and, you know, some people say, well, a certain female singer named after the Blessed Mother, Mary, must be Christian because she wears a cross. And I've said for a long, long, long time, yeah, you got it.
I just got it.
For a long, long, long time,
right?
A Christian isn't known by the cross they wear.
Right.
Because anybody can wear a cross, but by the cross they bear.
Woo! That's good,
you know,
Pastor.
You're not known by the cross that you wear
mm-hmm.
around your neck. And that's one of the reasons I stopped wearing one, because it didn't mean a thing.
Right.
It unfortunately has come to mean nothing.
Right.
Which is really sad.
Right.
But, you know, Paul's saying to the church in Thessalonica, your Christ-like behavior
right.
that's, has gone
that's
out.
That's it.
Everybody's talking about the way Ooh. You're living.
Yes.
And,
Amen.
You know, that's what I want to be.
Amen.
That's what I really want to see happen more and more in my life. And my
mm-hmm.
people talk about, well, wow, he stood up under that trial. I probably wouldn't use those words. But, you know, wow, he didn't lose it when he talked to that client on the phone,
right.
things like
right.
that. You know, we want to show forth that Christ-like behavior.
Amen.
And he says, you know, how we turn from our idols, whatever those are. And, you know, this day and age, yeah, some people still worship little idols of gold and silver. But
right.
a lot of times the idols can be drugs, money,
sure.
sex.
Right.
A more handsome, a more pretty partner,
right?
Bigger car, whatever it is.
Sure.
We have to make sure that we turn away from all of that.
Exactly.
And turn to the living God. And it
Amen.
Can be whatever takes God's place in our heart. And it can be innocent things. It can be good things. It could be our partner.
Right.
It could be our family.
Right.
It could be our love of sports.
Now you're meddling, Pastor Jim.
Sorry, but well, I mean, it could be. It,
yes.
You know,
no, it can
it
be
could
whatever
be our job.
Keeps us from.
Anything
exactly.
that replaces God.
Absolutely. I'm teasing you.
I know.
Absolutely. That keeps us from wanting to be in the Word. What keeps us from. That's a good question to ask ourselves. What keeps me from wanting to read the Word?
Right. What
you
keeps
know?
Me from wanting to read the Word? What keeps me from wanting to pray? What keeps me from wanting to be in fellowship?
Right.
Because those are the things that can become idols.
Exactly.
And Paul says, you know, people marvel. You turn from all that stuff to the true and living God.
Amen.
And you're waiting expectantly for Jesus to come
right.
back. And, you know, I was kind of, you know, one of the things that helped me to be born again that opened my heart to the gospel were books like I mentioned earlier in the show, The Late Great Planet Earth.
Yes.
Salem Kerbin's books, 666 and 1000.
Yes, those were,
You know, God used those to plant seeds in my heart about the coming of the Lord. And even before I got saved, I believed Jesus was coming back. I pray, thank God he didn't before I was ready, but...
And he is,
God. Amen. And even 37 years after I got saved, I'm still expectantly looking forward to Jesus coming back.
Amen.
I mean, we're going into Advent now, where we normally look at Christmas. But that time of the year is also, I mean, if you look at like the churches that, use, the liturgical churches that use a regular lectionary for their word study for the Bible each week, the one today is out of Matthew chapter 24. It's talking about the second coming of Jesus.
The second coming, yes.
Advent is not just about the first coming.
Praise God, that's a good word.
Preparing us for his second coming, for his return.
Yes.
Because his coming is soon. I mean, look around you. I'm sorry, I'm preaching, Pastor.
No, you go right ahead.
I mean, you know, you look around.
Yes.
And this world is ripe for the rise of the one called the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because people are looking for a solution.
Right.
And they're not willing to look for it in God.
Right.
And, you know, 2 Thessalonians says God will send among them a strong delusion that they would believe the lie.
Exactly.
You know, and God's going to allow this person to rise up. There's going to be tribulation. We are really going to have convictions of steel.
Exactly.
Because we're going to have to stand up and possibly be martyred for our faith before Jesus comes back.
Exactly. We don't know where it's going.
I know. Yes. I am so looking forward to him coming back. And, you know, it's just, it excites me.
What
and
a day.
And I think of that Andre Crouch song, you know, soon and very soon.
We did that at the nursing home.
Yeah,
remember the last
the
time
king.
We were there ministering?
I love that song because it's even 37 years after I got saved, I still believe that song. And, you know, God's timing is not our timing. He could come tonight. He could come 10 years from now. I just want to be ready when he comes.
I'm glad you brought that up because the first Sunday of every month, which will be next Sunday, we go to Palm Garden Nursing Home where our dear Jeannie is, where my mother was. My mother just went back to her assisted living. But we have a service there on Sundays from 1:45 to 2:25. And so last week, the last time we were there, the first Sunday of November, there was standing room only, and there were people in the hallway. The whole room was packed of wheelchairs.
I love the nursing home
Wasn't
ministry.
It great? Oh, my gosh. So next week is when we'll be there again. But when we were doing that song, soon and very soon, we are going to see the king. And then we did No More Crying There, No More Dying There. There was that. Did you see the little guy out in the hallway right outside the window? Because there wasn't any room to get in the room. And he was just clapping and dancing. And little old guy had to be, I don't know, late 80s, 90s. But it was a joy because you're right. It's soon and very soon we are going to see the king.
Amen.
We have so much to be thankful for, so much to look forward to. In the meantime, the Holy Spirit is putting steel in our convictions.
Amen.
It's the Holy Spirit who is descending on us. This river of life, Spirit of the Lord, the songs we did today all talk about this, that it's God's Holy Spirit working in us does this.
And without the Spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, you think...
We can't make it happen for ourselves.
No, it has to be a work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And so what do, dear listeners? We surrender to the Lordship of Jesus in our lives. Like we prayed earlier in the show. If you don't know Jesus, you ask him to come into your heart. And then you take it a step further and say, Holy Spirit, come and do a work in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come and fill this place. That song we did earlier, Holy Spirit, come and fill this place.
Right.
Meaning your heart. Not just the church room or the sanctuary, but Holy Spirit, come and fill me, my space, all that is me. Fill me up to overflowing with you.
Amen.
Wow. Convictions of steel. The Holy Spirit wants to put it within us. Dear ones, we are so glad you have listened today to Living the Good Life. We want to remind you of a couple things, and that is that Pastor Jim has mentioned a couple of times here, if you don't have a good church that you're going to, a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, teaching the Word church, you need to find one. If you're in our Tampa Bay area, we welcome everyone to Beacon of
Come
Hope.
Come find us.
Come find us. We do not discriminate for any reason. We are a very varied, what's the word? Diversified church, you know, age groups, skin color, gay, not gay, straight. We have just older, younger. It doesn't matter to us where you are, where you've been. What God is doing in your life is what is important.
Amen.
And we want you to hear the Word of God in an atmosphere where you're comfortable. So we welcome you to Beacon of Hope. And that is 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater, Florida. And that's where our home base is. But we are global. And we thank God. And we want to take an opportunity to direct you to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Everything is there. That's where you learned about the
Amen.
Ministry. It tells all of the things we have going on, the radio ministry, the nursing home ministry,
right.
all the different things. And the publications, the books, my other two books, Lessons from the Fiery Furnace and Living Large and Loving It, are on there. And the new one, Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost. And we want you to check that out. You can order it there. Or if you're in the Tampa Bay area, come to a service and you can buy it directly from us and save postage and all that kind of thing. Actually, we'll sell them on the website and we'll pay for the postage also. So we want you to hear Lori's story. And if you are an addict, you have a family member or a friend that's an addict. And if you are struggling with a child, that you need some hope and encouraging words and God's answer, check out the book. I think it's going to really help you. So, Pastor Jim, you have a final thought for us today? Have you had a good time?
I have had a wonderful time. And again, I look at the clock and I think...
Where did
what?
It go?
Yeah. What happened?
Especially that clock, Pastor Jim, because it never
it's
got
hour,
set back.
Yeah, right.
So it's
an hour ahead
6:56
anyway.
Here in the radio station. So our engineer, Bill, didn't quite get that done.
But
anyway, what a joy. Thank you, Pastor
amen.
Jim, for being with us.
It's been
As
great.
Always, we love coming into your home or your car or your computer every Sunday, 4 to 6, live. Call a friend. Tell them about living the good life. Because it's all about learning the principles of God's Word. Beacon of Hope is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives.
Amen.
So whatever is going on in your life, God wants to meet your needs. You can call us for prayer, and we forgot to mention that today, but our prayer line is very busy. Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Send us an email. You will be prayed for, we promise you. And God is doing miracles on our prayer line.
Amen.
We'll talk about that next week. Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. It's been a joy to be with you. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister with my buddy over here, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, and our wonderful engineer, Bill, who loves God. And we hope you all do, too.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great week. See you next week on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. God bless you.